Good afternoon, and Merry Christmas to all of you. Can anybody here trace your genealogy back as far as what we just heard? Has anybody ever had a birthday party with this many people? Merry Christmas to all of you. I'm happy to be here with you to celebrate this very special feast of the Lord's Nativity. I always feel a bit inadequate when I preach on this day because it is such an amazing, amazing mystery. God becoming man and God dwelling among us in human flesh and blood. The God who made all things, the God who is invisible, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful. He lowers himself to become a human, a man like us. And he deliberately chose to be among the poor, to have as his birthplace a simple cave where the animals were living. His first adorers, besides the angels, of course, were the shepherds. And people regarded the shepherds with a little bit of disdain. They were on the fringe of society. What is God saying in this mystery of his humble birth? He certainly has a different way of saying things, doesn't he? For centuries, he kept hidden his plan to assume a human nature. And this was totally, absolutely unexpected. His chosen people spoke of God as mysterious. They thought if anybody actually saw God, they would die. And so to imagine that this powerful, omnipotent God would become a little baby who would need constant care beyond their wildest imagination. Yet that's exactly what happened. God became man while still remaining the all-powerful, all-knowing God. Mary held him in her arms, and Joseph. This is such a wonderful and joyful feast because of what it says about God and also what it says about us. We could never imagine that God would assume a human nature. Maybe an angelic nature would be better for him because it's a higher nature than the human nature. But here God obviously empties himself. He takes the form of man, assuming the position of a slave because he came not to serve. He came not to be served, but to serve. And he came to give his life as a salvation, for the salvation of the world. So he was laid in a manger. First, in that little town of Bethlehem, which means house of bread. And didn't he declare himself as the bread of life? And being laid in a manger where beasts are fed symbolized his desire to be food, not of the beasts, but of us, human beings. It's human beings that he loves. And he loves with so much passion. He loves human beings so much that he even became a man to dwell among men. Brothers and sisters, we should be very joyful at this time because we believe that we are loved by God so much. We rejoice in the fact that God does not turn away from us, even though we are so unworthy of his love and his mercy. It's not that we are just to remain always in our sinfulness. Once we know God loves us infinitely, I think it fills us with a certain courage and a certain desire to return his love. What else can we give to God for his goodness? I think it should make us be filled with wonder and praise that God has come so close to us through those who lived there in those blessed years of our Lord's sojourn in the Holy Land. We can say, as they said, that they saw him, they heard him, they even touched him. And in the Holy Eucharist, which we are celebrating, we can say that he is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. In the Old Testament times, there was a general expectation that God would come to save his people. But the people never imagined that he would physically come as a child, as a helpless little baby boy. This great mystery was hidden and only revealed when he came and walked among the children of men. And how he loves us. He came for no other reason than to set us free from our sins, to die for our salvation. He came to offer his life in atonement for the sins of humanity, which are many. This infinite God, this holy God, would assume a body so that he could offer it in sacrifice to save all those destined to be saved who believe in him as Savior and Lord. So today's feast, Christmas, already anticipates this sacrifice, even though this redeeming sacrifice too would remain hidden until the time that was ordained by God. Truly, said the soldier when Christ was on the cross, truly this is the Son of God, seeing how Christ accepted his holy death. And here at Mass, this most blessed Redeemer, once again in an unbloody manner, offers his body and blood, his soul and divinity, for each of us. If we are following this Lamb of God in purity and holiness and faith, we can approach the altar and commune with this divine physician who knows very well the medicine of immortality that we need. So, my dear people, let us rejoice that God has come to be among us, first of all in the cave in Bethlehem, and lastly that he is here in the breaking of the bread. To him be all praise and honor, thanksgiving now and always and forever. Amen. This is a very special time of the year, of course. When we profess the creed today, usually we bow when it comes to the part where he becomes man, when we say he becomes man. But today, being celebration of the incarnation, we will kneel instead. And secondly, only Catholics who are practicing their faith are supposed to come up to receive him. So if you're not a Catholic or not practicing, just put your hands over your breast like that, and then we'll give you a blessing.